Some people place faith in good luck symbols, even a rabbit's foot. But remember, it didn't do the rabbit any good. I do not wish to be light-minded, but I believe we should ask ourselves if we truly and seriously place our faith where it belongs and rely on the merits of Christ. Do we have an assurance that salvation comes only through Him and that He will take upon Himself our burdens and sorrows if we would place an unwavering faith in Him? The Scriptures state that they are they which testify of God. Eternal life is knowing God and His Holy Son. One can know Him by searching the Book of Mormon. Every page testifies of Him. The changes published in the Book of Mormon in 1981 go back beyond the first edition of 1830 to the handwritten manuscript. The Book of Mormon is a sacred ancient American document recorded by writers as the events unfolded, starting more than 2,000 years ago. The Book of Mormon is a record of families that the Lord led to the Americas for specific purposes. Three groups left the land of Jerusalem and crossed the oceans, beginning several centuries before the birth of our Savior, and arrived in the promised land, the Americas. They descended through Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Ancient American texts written by Native Americans support this origin. For example, the title of the Lords of Totonicapan, the original text of which was recorded in 1554 in the language of the Quiché of Guatemala from legends centuries old states. The Quiché are descendants of the 10 tribes of the Kingdom of Israel, whom Shalmaneser are reduced to perpetual captivity, and who, finding themselves in the border of Assyria, resolved to emigrate. These then were the three nations of Quichés, and they came from where the sun rises, descendants of Israel, of the same language and the same customs. They were the sons of Abraham and Jacob. Now on the 28th of September, 1554, we sign this attestation in which we have written that by which our, by tradition our ancestors told us who came from the other part of the sea, from Sivan, Tulan, bordering on Babylonia. Elder Markey Peterson, a member of the Council of the Twelve Apostles, wrote, "As the ancient Israelites suffered a dispersion which sprinkled them among all the nations, so the descendants of Laman and Lemuel, sons of Lehi, were sifted over the vast areas of the Western Hemisphere. They are found from pole to pole. Many migratory groups came to the Americas, but none was as important as the three mentioned in the Book of Mormon. The blood of these people flows in the veins of the Blackfoot and the Blood Indians of Alberta, Canada, in the Navajo and the Apache of the American Southwest, the Inca of Western South America, the Aztec of Mexico, the Maya of Guatemala, and in other Native American groups in the Western Hemisphere and the Pacific Islands. These choice Native people recognized the truth of the Book of Mormon, which was recorded for them by their own ancestors." President Spencer W. Kimball said, "The converted Lamanite is devout. Few ever apostatize. Some lose their way as they partake of the worldliness about them, but generally the children of Lehi of the 20th century have inherited that grace and ability to believe like their ancestors of the long ago." We read in Helaman 6, "And thus we see that the Lord began to pour out His Spirit among the Lamanites because of their easiness and willingness to believe in His words." Every ecclesiastical authority of any church and every agnostic will rejoice and praise God for having sent the priceless Book of Mormon to them or to us. Why? Because it is a sacred, second, undeniable witness to the world that God lives and Jesus is the very Christ, our Redeemer. The first witness is the Holy Bible, which testifies of the Master from the Middle East. The Lord said in John 10 that other sheep would hear His voice. The Lord came to the Americas after His resurrection and said, "And verily I say unto you that ye are they of whom I said, Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Two such witnesses cannot be denied without placing the soul in peril. The crucial messages or purposes of the Book of Mormon are shown in its title page. To show unto the remnant of the house of Israel what great things the Lord hath done for their fathers, and that they might know the covenants of the Lord, and also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. Ancient American literature contains references to a white bearded God who descended out of the heavens. He is called by many names. One example is Quetzalcoatl. Historians of the 16th century, whose texts I have, recorded pre-Hispanic beliefs concerning the white-bearded God who came to the Americas long before the arrival of the Spanish conquerors. The following paragraphs contain examples of these beliefs. Bernardo de Sahagún, born 1499, wrote, "Quetzalcoatl was esteemed and considered as a god and was worshipped in older times. He had long hair and was bearded. The people worshipped only the Lord." Diego Duran, born 1537, wrote, "A great man, a person venerable and religious, bearded, tall, long hair, dignified deportment, heroic acts, miracles. I affirm he could have been one of the blessed apostles." The Tamanacos, Indian tribes of Venezuela, have the same legend of the white-bearded God. Quote, "Amalivaca had a face of the color of the white billowy clouds of the morning. White was his hair or headdress. He said, 'I am Amalivaca, and I come in the name of my father, Ina Uiki.'" The Book of Mormon gives an accurate account of the coming of the Lord to ancient America. When we accept the ancient roots of the book and believe that Joseph Smith did have ancient records that could not be in English, we then ask how he translated them. The only reasonable answer is the way he said, by divine revelation. What would be more perilous to us eternally than to say the Book of Mormon is Holy Scripture if it were not? Those who have questions or concerns about the church may cling in security to this firm anchor that is immutable and tangible evidence of the truthfulness of the church. The Book of Mormon prophet Nephi wrote, "For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all we can do." Elder B.H. Roberts wrote in 1909, "The Holy Ghost must ever be the chief source of evidence for the truth of the Book of Mormon. All other evidence is secondary to this, the primary and infallible. No arrangement of evidence, however skillfully ordered, no argument, however adroitly made, can ever take the place of the Holy Ghost. Secondary evidence in support of truth, like secondary causes in the natural phenomena, may be of first-rate importance and mighty factors in the achievement of God's purposes." The sun rises rather quietly, and at times we think that the Lord's voice is that quiet, but his voice is audible if we would but pray, meditate, and listen as he places clear thoughts in our minds. As surely as the sun rises, God lives, as does his Almighty Son. As surely as the sun rises daily, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is his. Because the sun rises, we see everything else. Because Jesus Christ lives, we see by his light eternal, unchanging truths and an illuminated path showing the purpose of our premortal life, the reason for our current existence, and the effect of premortal and mortal life on our life after what we call death. The Bible is a witness. The Book of Mormon is a witness. I am one of the witnesses that he is risen and he is coming. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.